Today on Real Radio.
We are all humans, and those of us who trust Christ, remember, we're sinners saved by His grace. Yes, the Spirit is at work within us. We're not sinless. We'll never be sinless until we drop dead. But we're not the people we used to be.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven, Part 2, continues a new series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences, but how do these beliefs stack up to Scripture? This series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. The Bible tells us that what we believe matters. We can't go to heaven by following popular preachings or through religious repetitions. God is an individual Savior. Those of us who have received the true gospel message will not be deceived by the signs and wonders of the day. What is the true gospel? Well, that no one comes to God except through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the price that He paid on the cross for our personal salvation. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us not to seek to reinvent the gospel to meet our feelings. Instead, we're to present our lives to Jesus Christ in honest and humble submission to Him, regardless of what we feel. And now, continuing in his lesson called Who Told You That You're Going to Heaven, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, that's awesome because King Uzziah and Isaiah, they were inseparable. The king dies, now Isaiah's alone. What's his next word out of his mouth? I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and His glory and His robe filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they did fly. And one cried to another, and they said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door, he's talking about heaven, what's going on? The post or the pillars of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. That's another word for glory. Verse 5 goes on and says, Isaiah speaks. Look at his reaction. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Verse 5 goes on. Because why, Isaiah, we would say, why? What happened? My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I saw God. And all of a sudden, I was reduced to ashes. Getting alone with God will do that. Honestly, I mean this. We are all in this together. We are all humans. And those of us who trust Christ, remember, we're sinners saved by His grace. Yes, the Spirit is at work within us. We're not sinless. We'll never be sinless until we drop dead. Okay? But we're not the people we used to be. Someone say amen. Yes? So in light of that, here's the deal. If any of us see each other strutting around town, puffed up and proud, we need to gently, lovingly pull one another over and say, hey, listen, remember what Isaiah saw? Isaiah saw the Lord and he confessed, I'm a man of unclean lips. What's my point? You should never see a proud Christian. That's impossible. Oh, you can be a Christian and be backslidden in your pride, but you can't be a proud Christ follower. Was Jesus ever proud? We are to mimic Him. We are to talk like Him, speak like Him, be like Him. We're to emanate an attitude like Him. Today, we have rock star Christian pastors in the world today. Is that possible? Well, you can be a pastor. But if you have fallen into rock star status, then I think that's a bad place. Beware lest you fall. God shares His glory with no one. So we need to keep that in our minds, accountable to each other, that there's only one, and that's God. And Isaiah knew that. Woe to me, I have nothing. Every true follower of Christ is aware that they are, number one, not of this world, but they're also keenly aware that they're unworthy for the world that's to come. And that's where Christ comes in. That's where Jesus is our righteousness, the Bible tells us. In John 16, verse 8, the Bible says, John 16:8, and when he has come, Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit. Listen, he will convict the world of sin. Wherever the Holy Spirit is present, people will sense conviction of sin. What else? And of righteousness. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit, wherever he's at, will point people to the right direction, to the right thing to do. And the third thing he'll do is remind mankind of judgment. Every one of us has a sense that there's a judgment coming inside of us. That's by God. Because, listen, they do not believe in me, Jesus said. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, they will see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Satan has been judged. What a tremendous thing that is. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, when we talk about getting alone with ourselves, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, the Bible here says, examine yourselves. Somebody asked me after first service, how you feeling? Or how you doing? And I went like this. This guy, he kind of caught me off guard. He goes, how you doing? And I went, fine. I mean, I just took my pulse. Fine. Examine yourself. Listen, the Bible tells us if we would examine ourselves as believers, what does that mean? Examine ourselves would mean to take God's word and apply it to our lives. To examine ourselves is to examine my lifestyle, listen, in light of God's word. This is for you to do. This is for me to do. If I examine myself in light of God's word, what does the scripture say? As to whether you are in the faith, you can find out today, believer or pretender, if you're for real, by looking at the Bible and judging yourself against the Bible. Test yourselves, it says. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? What a great statement. Do you not know? Paul is pleading with them. You ought to know. You can tell if you're a pretender or a follower of Christ. He says, unless indeed you are disqualified. What does that mean? Unless you've been hovering around church people, you appreciate them. You're grateful for their morality. You feel safer around church people. As far as you know, they don't rip you off. You're glad about the atmosphere that they bring around you. Everything's better with them. But you yourself have never become a believer. In time, you'll find out to be disqualified. It won't be true of you. What a scary thought that is. You'll be disqualified. Verse 6, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. That is an amazing thing. You ought to be able, and I ought to be able to watch your life, vice versa, and conclude, that's a true believer. Who told you you're going to go to heaven? The Holy Spirit should be the one telling you you're going to go to heaven, according to the Bible. It's very comforting to know. And then we'll end with this last consideration is, the steps towards salvation is deciding to be honest before God. Deciding to be honest before God. So we look into the mirror and we see who we really are. We get alone with ourselves to hear what God has to say to us, what he's wanting to speak to us. And then what do? Well, if we don't decide, it's almost as though a child is being brought into the birth canal, but it all stops. Nothing happens. Or there's a stillbirth. There was life on one side, but there's no life on the other side. You have to decide. A decision has to be made. And that decision is to be honest before God. Honest about who you are. Honest about the reality of your claim to faith. It's terrifying to me. I'll share something with you. It's just us here today. Yesterday morning, took an early walk. I don't know where you live or if you were up or not, but it was dark when Pastor Jeff and I met at a park and started to take a walk. It was dark. And we're going on one of the trails here in Chino Hills. And stopped and turned and looked around toward the east. And the sky, the sun was just starting to make its effect between San Jacinto and San Gregorio, those two great mountain peaks. It's crystal clear yesterday. You could see 100 miles, you know. It's just amazing. And the sun's starting to come up right in the middle of that valley. And the sky, for just a matter of just a few moments, began to be in incredible colors. And my eyes looked at that, and I just took out my camera, and I was just taking pictures of that. My eyes looked at the glory of that, standing there in silence, and then I just looked right down at my feet, and the hills are velvet green. And they're being dotted now with purple from the lupins blooming, and the wild lupins and the wild poppies. The state flower is popping up everywhere, that orange California poppy. And Jeff was standing next to me, but I just said out loud, I need to remember this. I need to remember this in my hour of doubt, that the same God who makes us promises in his word, who does this for those who are looking, blankets these fields with velvet green, will not fail me. I need to remember this in those times of doubt. Friend, do you ever have doubt? You ever have doubt? Don't lie to me. Yes, you do. We all have doubt. But you're the pastor. You're not supposed to. We all battle doubt. Look, I don't doubt God's existence. I don't doubt his holiness. I doubt often when I examine myself before the word, what kind of a believer am I? Makes me sick. It's not that I'm not going to heaven. That's settled. He's going to do that. That's what he's going to do. It's all based on him, and he'll keep his promise. It's me. I'm the one. It's time to decide. And I made that decision yesterday, looking at that grandeur of his exposure, revelation, in a simple way. And I thought, and I told Jeff, I said, listen, if you ever become aware of me having an hour of doubt, if it's my deathbed or whatever, if you ever, you have to remind me of this day. You remind me I just said this. Preach it back to me. Friends, the same God that does such amazing things is the same God. Those are warnings. I shouldn't say warnings. They could be warnings to you who do not believe in God. That same sunrise on those velvet fields can be the announcement that says, Jack, if I can strewn these flowers out across these hillsides, just so you can enjoy that. Don't you think I'll take care of you too? He's the same God. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, listen to this and we'll wrap this up. As for me, he says, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Friends, if you're a Christian today, this is your prayer. This prayer is 3,000 years old. And yet, can't you look at it today in the 21st century and say, I'll take it. Yep, Psalm 17, 15. That's worth memorizing. I'll take that one. I'll grab it. As for me, says the believer, I will see your face. Notice, it's God's face. As for me, I'm going to see God's face in righteousness. What does that mean? That means the believer is going to behold God in righteousness, the righteousness that is brought to you by Jesus Christ. Do you want that righteousness? Do you want to know it? Do you want to have that witness of his righteousness in your head and in your heart at all times? And then he goes on to say, I shall be satisfied. Awesome statement. Can I put it in a modern day vernacular, it would be, I am a Christian, I'm following Jesus, and I know my soul is secured with him, but I'm satisfied in knowing that, but I'm not satisfied. I am not satisfied. The Christian is a contradiction. He has given us everything we need, for life and righteousness and godliness in this world. And then on the flip side is we can't wait to get out of here. Because then we will have supernatural, God-ordained satisfaction. How's that? When I awake in his likeness. What is that? The moment the believer passes from this world in their last breath and breathes the next, it is in his presence. You'll be fully, absolutely, totally redeemed. God will keep his promise. Today, would you like to know the forgiveness of your sins? Today, regarding this salvation, would you agree with me that you've struggled with looking in the mirror, spiritually speaking? Would you agree that you don't like the person that you are? You've tried to cover the person that you are up. You've hoped other people have thought differently of you than who you know you are. Would you entertain this truth? God really knows who you are, and he wants you with him. Hey, look, your family may not want you. Maybe the company no longer wants you. Maybe you don't want you, but God wants you. And that today you would decide to publicly decide everyone that Jesus invited to know him, he invited them publicly. I'm going to ask you today as we dim the lights and sing this song, this beautiful song, if any of this has struck a chord in your heart and you would be saying today, Pastor, I want to meet Jesus and I want to have this. What you've talked about, I want to have this fixed in my life. I want to be able to look in the mirror and see Jesus. I want to absolutely have this transformation take place in my life. I want to be able to get alone with God and love it. I'm just not sure if I can make that decision. Oh, my friend, listen. I promise you, the moment you stand up, your heart will be in your throat. Because you've got a tornado going on the inside. You know something's happening right now. But the moment you start walking forward, you're going to sense an incredible release. You watch what happens. Christ's arms are open to you if you'll come to him. He won't make you come. The decision's yours. But come to him, I plead. As we sing this song, obey God. Get up. Come stand at the base of this platform, and we'll pray together in a moment. But you make your way. Listen, this is a weird time because it's got to be of God. And you'll never hear me say, if you're wearing a blue shirt today, come forward. That's ridiculous. But I will say this. If inside your mind, and I keep pointing to here because it's what's going on is going on right here. Your mind is racing right now, but you feel almost an angst. It's a tension. It's almost like someone's pointing at your chest. You almost feel kind of exposed right now. Nobody else knows what's going on around you, but you feel like you're being exposed. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. My dear friend, if you only knew, it's God himself saying, come here, come here. You can do it. Take a step. Come here. And he won't push you. He'll invite you. Once you make that move, he'll grab you. Just like a parent. Getting that little kid to get up and walk and take those first steps. And then when that child's heading to mom, heading to dad, and begins to go down, the mom scoops him up. God has been speaking to you. He wants you to move. But you got to get up. And then he'll grab you. And he'll do that great violent word. He'll just grab you and he'll pull you into the fold, as it were. If God is speaking to your heart to start life over again, brand new life, be forgiven of your sins, and to be a follower of Christ, come forward one more time. Let's do this one more time. You come forward. Okay, one final thing. This would be good to do. Come on up. One final thing, everybody. I'm glad that these now have come up and we'll pray with them in a second. This one final thing. Maybe you're a believer, but you've been a secret believer and you've never gone public with Jesus. You love him, but to be honest with you, you've been a little bit ashamed of the gospel. And today's the day for you where you would say, okay, I'm a Christian, but I'm going public. I've accepted Christ maybe a year, 10, 20 years ago, but I've just kept him under wraps. And I know the end is looking near every day. The world has gone crazy and I'm getting older and I've never gone public with Christ and I'm gonna do it today. That's you, you come up. You get up now and you come behind these and you stand and make your faith publicly known. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. So you come and then we'll pray together. What a powerful name it is. A name so powerful that God says angels will bow at his name. The Bible tells us that all those who have ever lived since the day of creation, in heaven and in hell, will bow before that name. Father, we rejoice and thank you that these have come, some to accept you for the first time, some to make public their faith. Lord, as you hear these prayers, we're asking you, Father, also, as it was in the days of the book of Acts, that not only as they receive or go public with their faith, that at the same time, they might receive the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, Lord God, with power. There are marriages, there are lives, there are young, there are senior, they have their issues, they have their questions, they have their station of life, and all of this you have anticipated for them. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'd receive their prayer. Friends, pray this prayer out loud after me. And listen, church, if you want to pray it out loud with them, that's great too, if you'd like to. Encourages them. Dear Lord, I give you my life. I am sorry for all my sin. I come to Jesus today. I ask you to wash me and to recreate me by the power of God. Because today, I confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I believe he died for me and rose again from the dead. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You That You're Going to Heaven, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that as you follow Christ, there's a continual transformation towards his likeness in your life. Who Told You That You're Going to Heaven, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? It's a series that gives us the truth about heaven and salvation. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you'd like to get a hold of a pastor, maybe somebody you could talk to help you through the next few steps, you can give us a call, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Please don't hesitate. Give us a call right now. We'd love to help you out with that, 877-RR-RADIO. You could also go to our website if you'd like, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, but give us a call, 877-RR-RADIO. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? Great sermons from Pastor Jack brought to you every Friday. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Watch tab. Join us for the Real Life TV program every Friday morning. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.